Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at PortfolioReportCard.com. Ron DeLegge's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host, Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Coming up on today's show, portfolio report card for CC in Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, this is a married couple in their mid-40s. They have a $1.5 million investment portfolio. How does it do on cost? How does it do on diversification? How does it do on risk, tax efficiency, and performance? We are going to analyze CC's portfolio today and give it a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Does it pass or does it fail? Also coming up, a question about leveraged ETFs. Why cannot leveraged ETFs be bought and held? Why can't ETFs that are leveraged be bought and held? Well, we'll get into that. Also, your calls, your questions, your ticker symbols. Again, the phone number, 877-711-5611. When you call, give us your first name along with your city. Also, give us your ticker symbols, whether they're stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, so we can locate what you're talking about. If you don't want to call, you can also tweet the program live at Index Show, is my Twitter handle. If for whatever reason you can't catch our regular radio broadcast, you can catch our podcast, which is an archive of our regular radio show. Just check us out at iTunes or Stitcher. Search under the Index Investing Show. Now, before we get into our portfolio report card, let's just get you caught up on some market news, beginning with U.S. stocks hitting records. We've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average closing the week for its fourth straight record high, and it gained over the past week almost 1.5%. We also see the S&P 500 also in record territory. Now, on a year-to-date basis, the S&P 500 ETF, SPY, which is the spider, has gained almost 13%. Since the beginning of the year. So an excellent year for stocks. And as most of our listeners know, and definitely as subscribers of my ETF Profit Strategy newsletter at etfguide.com know, that November, December, and January are historically positive months for stocks. And since 1950, the Dow has averaged gains between 1.2 to 1.5% for that three-month duration from November through January. So not a good time to be shorting stocks if you're a bear. Now, speaking of shorting stocks and bears, we're going to talk a little bit about leveraged ETFs. Of course, there are leveraged bull funds and there are leveraged bear funds. We're going to talk about the leveraged bull funds. I've got a question in our mailbag that I need to get to. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Why shouldn't you use leveraged ETFs as long-term investment vehicles? We'll talk about that again a little bit later. But again, if you want to join us, we're here, 877-711-5611. Give us your first name and your city, and we will get to you. Taking a look at sales of previously owned homes, according to the National Association of Realtors, sales of previously owned homes falling to six-month low. And it is a sign, yes, that the housing market continues to underperform the broader signals happening in the market. Now, taking a look at one measure of the housing market, new homes and construction companies that are involved in construction of new homes, ITB is the ticker symbol. This is the iShares Dow Jones U.S. Home Construction ETF. Since the beginning of 2014, It's up almost 3% and lagging the broader market. Now, it remains to be seen if this particular ETF, and I know there are a lot of bears that have been just eyeing this home building sector, and this has been a sector that's been just, it hasn't caved in, but this is one that I think it definitely, for you bears, put it on your watch list, because I think the thing is here, what's really helping this sector is low interest rates. And as long as rates remain low and contained as they are right now, I think home builders and just this whole sector, even though it's not doing well, will kind of just stagnate and hold steady. Now, all bets are off if rates begin to spike and to rise. I think you'll see some pain in this sector. But until that, this, like I said, this particular sector, home building, I think will stagnate and pretty much stay the same, may even edge a little bit higher. But nevertheless, if we look at it on a relative basis, you know, the home building sector has been a lagging sector. Now, some of the other sectors, one of my favorite sectors, one that we have featured in the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, that's been just a bonanza, an absolute bonanza, has been the utility stocks within the S&P 500. Now, the ticker symbol on this one is XLU, and this particular ETF has gained since the beginning of the year. Now, this just tracks S&P utility stocks 27.9%, almost 28% since the beginning of the year. That's not even including your dividends that you're getting. And of course, utilities pay a lot higher dividend than the S&P 500, almost double the annualized dividend yield of the S&P 500. So that is your icing on the cake, is the dividend. And the actual cake has been the delicious return of almost 28% for utilities. That is a particular ETF that we have been long, and we remain long, since March of 2014. So that's been a great area. Also, healthcare stocks, XLV, which tracks healthcare companies like pharmaceuticals, some of those bigger biotechs, hospital services companies, medical device makers, XLV ahead by almost 25%. That's been another outstanding industry sector within the S&P 500. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. This is the one place where we talk about the birds and the bees of successful investing. Yes, there is a right way and there is a wrong way to build an investment portfolio. Now, the right way gives careful consideration to the five factors that matter most, and that is cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. You will not find five other things that matter. That's all there is, friends. Cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. When it comes to constructing an architecturally sound investment portfolio, there is nothing else that matters. Now, you've got these one-dimensional folks, these one-trick ponies, these one-trick pony financial advisors that tell you, well, the only thing you need to focus on is performance. Performance is all that matters. Well, what they don't tell you is that your performance is directly correlated to how well your investment portfolio, or how poorly it does in those other four categories: tax efficiency, risk, diversification, and cost. If you mess up in those four other areas, it typically comes back to bite you when it comes to performance. So you can't disconnect performance and kind of separate it and isolate it and say it's the only thing that matters, because that's just not a rational argument. It has no basis. It's not a fundamentally sound argument. And it's, besides that, it's a one-dimensional, myopic view of how to build and construct an architecturally sound investment portfolio, period. And that's the beauty of the portfolio report card that I design, is because it's got a multidimensional view of your investment portfolio. It looks at it from all angles. So on today's show, we'll be putting CC in Cincinnati, Ohio. This is a married couple in their mid-40s. We'll be putting their $1.5 million investment portfolio on the operating table, and we'll be looking at it from all these angles. I will be dissecting it. We'll put it under the microscope, Dr. DeLegge is in the house. I've washed my hands. I've got on my scrubs. And we're ready. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. 877-711-5611 is the number. I'm also the publisher and founder of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. The January issue is out. Go to etfguide.com and get a copy. Now, contained within the January issue, we've got our monthly ETF income trade. Now, this is a strategic ETF portfolio that generates monthly income. We do that by selling covered calls on a low-cost, all-ETF portfolio. Since February of 2012, the income mix portfolio has generated $28,204, or around $829 per month of income since its inception. So to check out our latest trade for January, again, go to etfguide.com and click on the Profit Strategy newsletter, and you can check out exactly the trades that we did, and you can follow along and mimic the same income trades that are contained within the newsletter. Also contained within the newsletter is my mega investment theme report, highlighting and summarizing the 10 mega investment themes around the globe that are currently unfolding. Also, you got my global equity map, the world in a picture. So all of that, again, at etfguide.com. Now, for today's show, I'm doing a portfolio report card for CC in Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, this is a married couple in their mid-40s, and I need to give you some background before we delve into all the details of their investment portfolio, which is scattered across an array of different accounts. We're going to analyze CC's portfolio. We're going to grade it. It's going to get an A, B, C, D, or F, and you will find out if CC's current portfolio is well constructed or poorly constructed, and if they're on track or off track. So CC, as far as their occupation is concerned, works in the accounting and finance field, currently taking a break from work. She is to spend time with the kids. He's continuing to work. They've got a 401k plan. That's his account. They've got a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, a taxable brokerage account, and a 529 plan. So I analyzed and graded, or I'm grading these portfolios on a aggregate basis. We're looking at all of them together. And it's also helpful to do that, too, because we can see if things are synchronized and working together or unsynchronized. And this is important, is to make sure that all of your investments, regardless of where they're held, whether it's taxable account or tax-deferred account, that they're complementing each other versus fighting against each other. So they sent me a complete sheet of all of their holdings with the ticker symbols. And this is a self-managed account with a full disclosure that no financial advisor would ever endorse the portfolio that we've created. Okay, so we're going to see about that. I asked them, as I do with all people whose portfolios I analyze and grade, to describe themselves and to describe their investing style and strategy. And CC told me that right now they're accumulating, they're at the accumulation stage of their investment plan. They are pushing risk for the sake of return. The gamble is if the market is kind to us, we can retire early. On the flip side, if the market is unkind, we'll end up working longer. It may not be obvious from our portfolio, but we're really all about asset allocation. I totally believe in index funds, but I have a few managed funds because of, I suppose, the part of me that really wants to beat the market, even though I know there's a bit of irrationality attached to that thought. CC also says we are good for the ride. If the market goes down, I itch to buy. Also, a new strategy is to build a dividend portfolio to provide some income so that we can possibly facilitate an early retirement or delay Social Security. So what's your investment goal? What worries you? Our goal is to hit between $3 million to $3.5 million in total assets to retire. Our big worry for now is work. I had a good job, she did, but for a variety of reasons took a severance package to spend time with the kids. Currently, we're hemorrhaging cash. We prepared and planned for this cash-constrained period, but it is really hard to see our checking account being besieged every month. So that's the current situation for CC in Cincinnati, Ohio. Again, this is a married couple in their mid-40s. They've accumulated just over $1.5 million in their traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 529 college savings plan, 401k plan, and taxable. And so we're going to take a look at their portfolio in the first category, which is cost. Now, the bulk of the portfolio is really in the IRA and the 401k plan. Now, in terms of actual funds owned within the IRA, and this is the traditional IRA and Roth IRA, most of the assets held in those accounts are Vanguard mutual funds. For example, the Vanguard Wellington Fund Admiral Shares, VWENX, that's one holding. Another holding is the Vanguard Small Cap Growth Index Fund, ticker symbol VSGAX. That's a rather big holding. That particular fund, they've got about just over $100,000 invested there. They've got $135,000 in the Vanguard Capital Opportunity Fund, ticker symbol VHCAX. That's another very big holding. So this is what's contained in the Roth IRA as well as the traditional IRA. And so we've got about 10 different Vanguard mutual funds, and some of them are index funds, some of them are actively managed funds. And then in the 401k plan, those are all mutual funds. There's five holdings there: the Dodge & Cox Stock Fund, BioMarin Pharmaceutical, Nicholas Edition Fund, T. Rowe Price Mid Cap, and T. Rowe Price Growth Fund. So in terms of cost, I think particularly the Vanguard funds, I mean, this is what they're known for. They do a good job at containing costs. But the fund costs in the 401k plan compared to a mixture of comparable index ETFs covering the same asset classes are clearly elevated. I still think, though, even going back to those Vanguard funds, expenses can be substantially cut further, because Vanguard has index ETFs that are basically share classes of their regular mutual funds, and they have even lower expense ratios in many cases than the comparable mutual fund share class. So I think there's further cost savings to be had with the ETF share class. Also, in their taxable account, they own a basket of many, many individual stocks. And there's about almost 15 of them, from MasterCard to General Mills to Hershey to Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola. And they've got between $1,000 up to $3,000 invested in all these companies. So they're very small positions. And small positions in so many different stocks can be very expensive to manage in terms of brokerage commissions and costs for acquiring and also selling those stocks. So in terms of cost, I think there's some work to be done for CC's portfolio. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're doing a portfolio report card for CC in Cincinnati, Ohio. They're a married couple in the mid-40s, and they asked me to analyze and grade their portfolio and give them a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. We just looked at the first category, which is cost. And of course, the key thing here we want to see is a portfolio that deliberately minimizes the negative impact of not just fund expenses, but also transaction costs. Every time you buy and sell an investment, there is a transaction cost. There is a cost for doing that. Now, that cost may be commission. It may also be lots of short-term gains, which are taxed at a higher rate than long-term gains. So these are some of the things that you need to be aware of. And of course, they impact the long-term performance of your investment portfolio because they steal or they erode your returns. So that's why cost is definitely important. Now, we're going to take a look at some other areas. We'll look at diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance, and then we will give them a final grade. So stay tuned for that. Also coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about leveraged ETFs, and I'm going to share with you a question that I got, actually a pretty good one. Why can't leveraged ETFs be bought and held? So we've got a listener who's been basically buying and holding leveraged ETFs as long-term investments. So we'll take a look at that. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
All right, welcome back from the break. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. Doing a portfolio report card for CC in Cincinnati, Ohio. Married couple in their mid-40s. Have a pretty nice sum of money, $1.5 million, scattered across a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 529 college savings plan, 401k plan, and a taxable brokerage account. We looked at the portfolio's cost. They've got the bulk of their funds in mutual funds like Vanguard. They've also got some T. Rowe Price. And I think there's some cost cutting still to be done there. Overall, though, I think they did okay on cost. In terms of diversification, a well-diversified portfolio, I should say a satisfactorily portfolio that has satisfactory diversification will always have exposure to all the major asset classes. And there's five: stocks, bonds, cash, commodities, real estate. Now, in terms of diversification for CC's portfolio, the combined portfolios, and this is how I analyzed it and graded it in terms of looking at the whole thing together and seeing how it fits as a puzzle, it really is, when I drill down and analyze it from a different angle, it's really a three asset class investment mix. They've got stocks, cash, and high yield bonds. That's what they own. And that high yield bond that they own, by the way, is ticker symbol VWEAX. Got about $35,000 in there. But this is what they've got. They have no exposure to a few other major asset classes that are very important pieces, diversified portfolio, commodities and real estate. And also, they don't have exposure to the broader bond market. They've got exposure to this niche area of the bond market, a pretty high-risk area, high-yield bonds. So that's missing. And I also see evidence of portfolio clutter with lots of overlapping holdings. What I mean by that is funds basically that invest in the same area, and you've got multiple ticker symbols, multiple different mutual funds that invest in the same area. It's unnecessary portfolio clutter or over diversification. It's very sloppy, and there's no reason for it. And a couple of examples: they own ticker symbol VSMAX along with VSGAX. Both invest in the same general area. Don't need to really own both of them. Same thing with VWENX as well as VASVX. which again overlap. Some of the holdings in each of these ticker symbols are replicated needlessly. So I think in terms of diversification, not very good job for CC. Next up is risk. And I'll pose this question to our audience. It's a question that I'll pose to not just you, but also CC. Why do we take more risk with our money than we need to? Is it because we're incredibly brave, or is it because we're gluttons for punishment? And in reality, our investments are or should be a reflection of who we are and our attitude toward a financial and investment risk. Now, the combined portfolios that we looked at that here on, for these portfolios, from the IRA, the traditional IRA to the Roth to the 401k plan, all of them on a combined level, aggregate level, have the following asset mix: 94% stocks and 6% high yield bonds, and the rest in cash. So this is a what we would say a hyper aggressive, high risk asset mix. These are people in their mid 40s, and to have 94% of your exposure to stocks is completely unacceptable, especially when you're missing exposure to other major asset classes like commodities and real estate. A stock market correction between 20% to 40% exposes CC's portfolio to aggregate potential losses between $300,000 to almost $600,000 of losses. And as we mentioned at the outset of the portfolio report card, they even admitted that the gamble is if the market is kind to us, then we can retire early. On the flip side, if the market is unkind to us, that we'll end up working longer. Well, we really shouldn't be making gambles with our core investment portfolios, should we? I mean, the gamble, the hyper-aggressiveness should be reserved for the non-core part of our investment portfolio, which complements the core. The core is our serious money. The core is our money that matters. The core is the money we cannot afford to lose, the money we cannot afford to screw with. That's the core of your investment portfolio, ladies and gentlemen. The non-core, if you want to gamble on individual stocks, if you want to gamble by having 100% of your money in one asset class or one thing, you can do that with the non-core part of your portfolio. But the core you've got to get right. This is the one area of your investment portfolio where you don't gamble, where nothing is left up to chance, where you are 100% purposeful and deliberate about everything you do. And on terms of risk with CC's portfolio, not a very good job. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. We're doing a portfolio report card for CC in Cincinnati, Ohio. Married couple in their mid-40s. They work in the finance area, I guess accounting and finance. And she is currently taking a leave of absence from her job. He's still working, and so he's still putting away money in his 401k plan. And we just looked at cost, diversification, and risk of their portfolio. Next up is tax efficiency. Now, none of these portfolios, from what I can see, have any evidence of premature distributions. This is what I look for, especially in those tax-deferred retirement accounts, which, of course, would create an unfavorable tax situation. So we don't see that. That's good. We also don't see any 401k loans, which could also be a potential tax liability if either one of them terminates from their job. Of course, those 401k loans could become a taxable event. So a good job overall, I think, in terms of tax efficiency. Also, the bonds are located in a taxable account. I think there's some improvement that could be made, actually, in a tax-deferred account. The bonds are located in a tax-deferred account exactly where they should be. So that's good. So overall, in tax efficiency, a fine job. In terms of performance, and this is the last area, I mean, this is really the bottom line. This will either validate or incriminate your investment portfolio. The performance will sum up whether your cost, diversification, risk, and tax efficiency are on or off. These combined portfolios grew just over 14% year over year. So the question is, give me some point of reference, Ron. How does that compare to a benchmark of index ETFs with a similar asset mix? 94% stocks, 6% to high yield or to bonds and cash. Well, our comparative benchmark gained 16.1% versus CC's 14.2% gain. So that's a deficiency. The combined portfolio is underperformed by almost 2%. Furthermore, they did that during a favorable market climate, which is completely unacceptable. If your portfolio can't perform in line or keep up with a passive benchmark during good times, don't for a second think, don't delude yourself that you're all of a sudden going to miraculously outperform when the market starts to act up. So in terms of performance, definitely a deficiency. And so the final grade for CC's portfolio, the final report card, is a C. The strongest areas of this combined portfolios are cost and tax efficiency. Weaknesses, clearly, are diversification, risk, and performance. We will get into other details. I've got some follow-up thoughts on CC's portfolio report card. Also coming up, can you buy and hold leveraged ETFs as long-term investments? Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
CC in Cincinnati, Ohio, married couple in their mid-40s, just got a C on their portfolio report card. And what does a C mean? Well, investment portfolios that score a C are not well designed, and any deficiencies in cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance are deemed significant. Also, the one-year performance result is less compared to a similar portfolio of passive market index ETFs. Portfolios that score a C require major changes or adjustments. Now, some of you may say to me, well, how is it possible for this couple in their mid-40s, they've got a sum of $1.5 million, which is a pretty good stash. How is it possible for them to get a C on their investment portfolio? Well, just because you're a good saver does not automatically make you a good investor. And clearly, that is the case with CC. Now, they're great savers. They're outstanding savers. But if they're going to reach their financial goals of having $3 million to $3.5 million, that's what they told me, they're going to have to eliminate weak spots of their portfolio that I identified and reconstruct their portfolio. And clearly, they came up short in terms of diversification, in terms of risk. I mean, their portfolio lacks exposure to the major asset classes like commodities and real estate. They're loaded up on stocks. And let me tell you, when the correction arrives, and it will, nobody knows when, but a correction will arrive. We haven't had one in quite some time. It's been a few years. S&P 500 is going to be up five straight years. Five consecutive yearly gains. And if you go back to the past 10 years, we've only had one down year. That was in 2008. And we will get a sharp pullback. And when that happens, portfolios that are misallocated or loaded up on one asset class like stocks usually get creamed. And so the point is to have a orientation that is more apt to help you reach your goals so that when these setbacks happen, that you don't get crushed. And that's the difference. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card while I analyze and grade your portfolio, go to portfolioreportcard.com and reach out to me. If your portfolio gets an A, I'll pay you $100. Now, let's take a look at a question that I got in the email bag. My music, please. Dear Ron, you and just about all the other ETF specialists are very adamant about using leveraged ETFs as short-term trades only. Please comment about what I've done for a five-year period as outlined. I've been investing in the ProShares 2X Leveraged S&P 500 ETF as ticker symbol SSO. And over the past 5 years, I am a long-term investor, by the way, I've had very, very positive results with a few minor blips along the way. Now, according to my calculations and using the S&P 500 ETF, SPY, if you invested in the unleveraged ETF, SPY, and SSO, which is a 2X or double daily leveraged ETF, SPY was up 84%. SSO was up 248% during the same time period. Now, if at any time the simple day moving average or exponential moving average, and these are technical indicators or technical barometers, if at any time these ETFs fell below either one of those predetermined levels, you can choose the 50-day moving average or 200-day moving average, whatever. And if it held below these levels for three closing days, you'd exit the position and wait for the trend line to rise above that moving average and make sure it held for 3 days before reinvesting. This is the strategy I've used. It has worked so well in the past that it's scary. It's almost guaranteed a substantial profit over time. Do not expect great results unless you follow this technique for at least 3 years. Using the S&P 500, you have good diversification. There are minimal trading in and out, and you basically using the moving average. Do you see any problems with this method? I've been using it for a long time, and I've gotten exceptional results, particularly in this strong bull market. Signed, MK in Westboro, Massachusetts. So here's my answer, MK. Using leveraged daily double and triple leveraged ETFs as buy and hold long-term investing vehicles, as you're doing, is not how they were built to be used. Now, I hope you understand that, and I think you do. However, that doesn't mean necessarily that you'll have unsatisfactory results if you use them that way, and you are currently, I think, living proof that you can buy and hold them over a long time frame and actually have pretty good results. But a couple of conditions, first of all, have to exist. For leveraged index ETFs to thrive, as they have in your case, two conditions need to be met. Number one, the underlying index needs to continue to rise, which has been the case with the S&P 500. Number two, the volatility of the index on a daily basis has to be low. And that has also been another condition that's been met. And the S&P 500 has done this over the past 5 years. Index continues to rise. Volatility of the index on a daily basis continues to be pretty low. Even if you didn't withdraw funds during periods where the index dropped below the moving average for 3 days, you probably would have made out pretty well. Now, the proper place for leveraged ETFs, nevertheless, despite these great results that you've had, and whoever decides to own them and whoever already owns them, where is the correct place within the orientation of your overall investment portfolio? Where do these types of investments, which are very aggressive, fit? Well, it's always in the non-core part of your portfolio. So my question, MK, is are you using them that way? Have you already built the foundation of your portfolio, hitting the five major asset classes, stocks, bonds, commodities, cash, real estate? And do you have low-cost exposure to those areas? If you haven't done that, then you have no business owning anything else, including leveraged ETFs. So hopefully you've taken care of that priority. The trading system, though, that you've developed here, so long as SSO remains above your key moving averages, I know it's worked like a charm during this particular market cycle, and I have to congratulate you. But like all trading systems, these techniques aren't necessarily error-proof or without consequences. For example, you've absorbed considerable considerable volatility, probably more than most people, most of us can handle or tolerate. You've also encountered an extremely favorable market climate for these hyper bullish trades, where just about everything that's 2x and 3x leveraged long equities, except for gold miners, has been a moonshot. Bear markets are particularly good at dismantling trading systems that were previously deemed as indestructible, and your neat little system is no different. Eventually, the unfortunate day will arrive when your trading strategy will simply not work, and guess what? You're going to need to find a new system. Financial markets are dynamic and constantly changing, and that's why rigid methods that don't recognize change by adapting often fail. Now, on a positive note, your trading strategy, MK, uses a strict buy-sell discipline. And I think that's something more traders and probably more investors should be doing. So thank you very much for that outstanding question, MK, and continued success to you. If you'd like to send me or tweet me a question, at Index Show's my Twitter handle. You can also email me, ron@indexshow.com. And that was a rather detailed question with a rather detailed response. If some of that went over your head, you can go to etfguide.com and read it yourself. Q&A, why can't leveraged ETFs be bought and held? Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Thank you so much for joining us. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.